So last week, as we continued to celebrate Easter, we talked about the act of new creation, that Easter was in fact like in Genesis 1 where we have this, the creation of the world, that Easter is almost a reboot on that. It's a new creative act, and there is a new humanity that's created as Christ died and has risen again. And that we are invited into this resurrected life, that Christ invites us to die and to be reborn, that we might experience new life through him. We didn't talk too much, though, about what that life actually looks like and how we live into that life. And so this morning, that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk a little bit about what that life looked like as those who were followers of Jesus began to explore this whole new experience of being human, of living into this resurrection life, and what that meant for how they lived in the world, how it changed them. And then we're going to do some reflection on our own. We've been trying to build in this rhythm of once a year as a church, looking back at where we have been and how we have tried to live into the calling and the vision God has given us, and trying to look a year ahead as well to see where we feel like God is leading us and calling us over the next year. And so we're going to do both of those things this morning as we try to understand how do we live as an Easter people, a people who live with Christ as the risen Lord. So in Acts chapter 4, we get a really incredible look at how the early church was beginning to figure out this new life that they had been resurrected into. And the transformation that takes place within that is pretty remarkable. Because you'll remember, up until the resurrection, the disciples were the people that every time Jesus told a story, they're like, "That was awesome, Jesus. What did that mean?" And Jesus would say something really clear to them, like, "Hey, we're going to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to die and then I'm going to raise again in 3 days." And they were like, "I have no idea what he means by that." And then when the authorities and everybody descended upon Jesus with all their power, they scattered. Even after Jesus was risen from the grave, that night when he appeared to them, they were in a room with a locked door, afraid. He showed up again the next week, they were still there, locked in that room, afraid. And then something remarkable happens. As Jesus commissions them, and they are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they become a different sort of people. And what we have in the book of Acts is the story of the church beginning to try to figure out what Jesus as a risen Lord really means for how we live each day of our lives and how we live and join in with this mission that God has given us. And in Acts chapter 4, we see a couple of the significant changes that take place within this group of followers and all of these people who now are filled with the Holy Spirit and how they begin to live differently. So Peter and John are just coming back from having met with all of the religious leaders. And the reason they were meeting with them was because they were doing stuff that made the religious leaders uncomfortable. Things like healing people in the temple and proclaiming that Jesus was Lord. And so they got called into the principal's office, so to speak, and they went there. And instead of cowering before them, they were bold and proclaimed that they knew exactly what they were doing and they weren't going to stop it. And they sort of dared them to punish them. They said, we're gonna continue to proclaim Christ. And then in Acts 4, the passage that was read for us, that Dan read for us, they're coming back to join with their other disciples, the other followers of Christ within that. And they begin to pray together and to share about this. And here's some of the things that they begin to name for the people, right? Some of the things they begin to name that they're how they're seeing the world differently. They're talking about what happened to Jesus. They said, "Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. And they did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. But now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and to perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. So one of the primary changes, the initial things that changes as people begin to take on this new life, and they're filled with the Spirit, and they begin to live out in mission, is that people who were once afraid of how they were going to be thought about, of what their faith might cost them, of the physical danger that their world had them, about being persecuted, about being left out, about being pushed to the margins, now instead are filled with something entirely different. They begin to boldly proclaim who Christ is. Right? They begin to boldly step out and say, regardless of the consequences, I must proclaim the truth. There is good news for you. Jesus Christ is Lord, and he has risen. And this is a radical shift for them as they step into it. as it goes on to describe, and it begins to describe some of the other incredible things we see take place in the church as they learn to live into the resurrection. It says, "Now all the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them that there was no needy persons among them. And from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, and they brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need." So we see them begin to boldly proclaim Christ. Then we discover that they have a new sense of unity that Luke describes as all of the believers were of one heart and one mind. Now that sounds really awesome, but what does it mean to be of one heart and one mind? That's not an experience we often have. It's not an experience we often have with people we work with, or with our family, or with our spouse, or with our parents, and sometimes even in the church. Politically, like, we're not used to this idea of one heart, one mind. But think about what happens to a group of people when they have the same motivation, the same goals in mind, they share an identity, they see the world the same way, and they want to live out their purpose in the same way. The power of that is this exponential multiplication of what people can do in the world. And this was not something that existed before Jesus was resurrected. Right? You'll remember his disciples, what did they continually argue about? Who was the best? Right? Who was going to get a seat of power in Jesus' kingdom? Because they were still focused on themselves, and they were still focused on the things of this world. But after the resurrection, that all begins to change, and they now have this sense of unity, one heart and one mind. They also have power. We keep having these descriptions of miraculous things that the early church did. Because now that they were filled with the Holy Spirit, as Jesus was, they begin to actually do the same things Jesus did, to heal people, to have prophetic word, to have visions, to have a power to their presence. So that other people now are being transformed, other people now are being drawn to them, other people are being incredibly changed by what they're doing. They're not only being obedient, but their obedience carries with it a power to change people. And finally, the last thing we see is this transformation from being individuals to being a people. All right? Everything is about the we, not I. Luke says the Holy Spirit and the grace of God was at work within them so powerfully that there were no needy people among them. I have a hard time imagining what no needy people among them actually looks like. Because every time I'm with people, there's a bunch of needs and a bunch of needy people, right? Myself included. And sometimes those needs are physical needs. Right? We need food, we need shelter, we need jobs, we need provision. But so many of those needs are something different. They're emotional, relational needs. Right? We're created to live with one another. And so when it says that the grace of God was so at work with them that there was no needy people among them, they don't just mean they had a great food distribution system, which, by the way, they did. They figured out how to feed the orphans and the widows and those who were hungry. And it's clear that when people had financial needs, other people gave out of what they had. They sold land. They gave out of their savings. They took care of one another. It wasn't about owning stuff and preserving self. It was about taking care of the other. But for there to be no needy people, it meant that they had to live with such a radical experience of hospitality, of welcoming people, that people no longer felt the need to whether or not they had value, of whether or not they were loved, of whether or not they had purpose in this world. No needy people means no one was lonely. No one was isolated. There was a beautiful connection within them. And so as we see the church begin to try to explore and to understand what it meant that Jesus was now risen from the grave, that there was a new creation taking place, and that the Holy Spirit had descended upon them, we see that their experience of daily life was changed in every aspect. They were empowered. They were no longer afraid. They were unified. They had this effectiveness to what they did, and they began to change lives of others. And now they saw themselves as a people, not just individuals. And so when we talk about our church and what we desire and what we want to look like and how we want to impact the world, these same characteristics are what we want. We want to experience our life together in such a profound and powerful way that people would look at us and be able to describe us with some of these same things. That there would be a boldness and a power and a unity and a sense of giving oneself and sacrificing for the other. These are the things we want to characterize us because they are the things that characterize Jesus. Right? All of these things are how Jesus lived. And now we see after Easter that his followers are empowered to live in them also. And so a year ago, we got together and before my sabbatical, and we started talking about some of the ways in which we felt like God was calling us to get better at being his people. Right? That we had to begin to flex our faith a little bit and grow deeper in our relationship with God and with each other and our ability to serve the world. That all three of those things really need to grow in ways, and we were going to try some things to try to live into that. So there were a couple of different things that we named last year within that, that were goals for us about things to do. The first was we were going to rest more. Before we got to the stuff we had to do, we were going to start with resting. And part of that was built around the fact that this church was taking a huge leap of faith and allowing me to take a 3-month sabbatical from pastoring. But also our church was going to shut down parts during the summer and take some rest and encourage our leaders to rest more within that. We talked about how we were going to begin through Fun Factory and other events to move into the Whispering Sands mobile home community to build relationships with the community there so that we can serve it better. We talked about a renewed emphasis on our justice ministries. We feel very passionate as a church about working for justice. And so when it comes to Free the Girls and Just Love and Kairos Inside Outside, we wanted to continue to help more people be into those, help those ministries thrive and grow. We talked about the desire to create more on-ramps to discipleship, to help more people engage in discipleship, and specifically said that we were going to try something new called emotionally healthy spirituality, which sounds funny. That we were going to try emotionally healthy spirituality. But it was, in fact, true that we were going to try that as a course and as a reality for us and invite people into that as well. And we also talked about how we had the beginning seeds of a new vision for Tribe, which has been our youth ministry, about how to live into that. So those were the things a year ago that we talked about. And as we laid the plan out for those about how we thought we would do those things, we have spent the past 12 months investing into those, and it has all gone differently than we thought it would from a year ago, because that's what we do here, right? We get a direction, and it's often we describe it as it's much more like sailing than building a railroad, right? A railroad, you lay out the tracks and you just go, and sailing, you get on a boat and you have to follow the wind and the currents a little bit. You're getting your way there, and indeed we've meandered our way into these things. And so today I want to talk a little bit about how, with all of these things and what we've learned in this past year, about how God has been breathing life into them and calling us into even deeper engagement with them this year. We don't every year put out a list of new things we're doing as a church, because I don't know what we can accomplish in a year. Not much. Usually we can begin to agree on an idea in a year and begin to learn what we need to do. Then we start engaging with it. So let me tell you about how we're going to try to live into these things new and with some other elements of it this year and invite you into that process of discernment as we do that. So a year from now, one of the things we want to see is even more rest and healthier rhythms from our leaders and our people. This is a primary part of our vision as a church. Our world wants all of your time and all of your focus and wants you to live like maniacs. And congratulations, you're all doing it, right? We all are. It is almost an impossibility in our culture and our day and age not to. And we believe if we're going to be a different sort of people and be good news for our culture, we have to learn to be healthy and to stop and to say no to things and to rest. And we're going to continue to try to live into that as a church and help people grow into that more and more. We're going to spend time resting again this summer as a church and scaling back our ministries for a time and talking with our leaders and always about how do we rest more. So know that that lesson that we learned, which I profoundly learned during my sabbatical, which I have to tell you, like, literally transformed who I was. And most of you have said it is for the good. I don't know. Those of you who didn't think so, I just have kept your mouth shut. Thank you. The more we rest, the easier it is for us to hear the voice of God and to have the capacity to respond to whatever he asks us to do. So we need to build those rhythms into us, and we're going to continue to emphasize that and try to help demonstrate that, but also invite people into that rest within that. Certainly within that, too, we want to continue our focus to invite more people deeper and deeper into the pursuit of Christ, to be disciples, to be students, to be followers of Christ. So we just got done the Emotionally Healthy Spirituality class that we had planned on doing this year, and we actually had about 35 people from our congregation participate in that, which was awesome. It was a wonderful response. And it was a really interesting learning experience going through that, and we've learned about ways in which we can maybe help people experience that more in some different ways. But mainly it was just a beginning of trying to help people engage more in discipleship. And we're trying to now help do some follow-up and help people continue the process of engaging in emotionally healthy spirituality, of becoming emotionally whole in our pursuit of Christ. And so this year, we're going to keep doing that. We're going to offer another round of emotionally healthy spirituality in the fall. We're also going to offer a follow-up course to that called Emotionally Healthy Relationships. Because if we're growing healthier in our relationship with God and ourselves, the first place we have to demonstrate that is in our relationships, right? And so we're going to offer that as well as a new engagement, a new help for people to think through how we live as followers of Christ within that. We have some people that are pretty fired up about praying here at our church. They sit somewhere. I don't know. No, we have it. And we are excited that we're going to be able to offer more and more prayer experiences and gatherings and time and to move deeper and deeper into a life of prayer as a church. And that's a huge part of moving forward about who we want to be within that. And one of the other things that we've begun experimenting with a little bit is something called If Table, and that's a movement that's begun around the country of creating these women's groups that gather around the table for fellowship and community. And we're hopeful this year that will expand and go further, and you'll hear more about that as we go. But all of these are additional on-ramps for you into discipleship that you might experience that within it as well. We're certainly, guess what? We're still serious about justice. Hey! About setting people free and participating in helping people be made whole. We believe that God wants to bring order to the chaos of our world, and that he cares about the marginalized and those who are oppressed and those who are trapped within systems. And if you're going to be part of our church, you just know that we're going to keep coming back to that over and over and over again, because the work is never going to stop within that. But what we've learned this past year, but investing into that, is that it takes people a while sometimes to get comfortable with the idea of being what we call an abolitionist, right? Someone who is working for the freedom of others. And that some of our ministries around that are pretty high challenge, right? We have people who go and minister to women in strip clubs to help them discover a new life. And we have people who go into prisons and work with the families of those who are prisoners. And we help provide jobs for survivors of sex trafficking. And we pack bras and sort of high challenge things for people as they're encountering that. But we want to keep growing that. We want to keep adding leaders to that. We want to keep helping people experiencing that. And we want to build some health and some long-term sustainability into those relationships, both with Free the Girls and Just Love and Kairos. We want those things to grow and to just begin to thrive in some new ways. And so last week, there was a luncheon to find out more about that, and there will be lots more opportunities within that. But just know, as you're thinking about ways to live out this new life Christ has given us, that we as a church foundationally believe in working towards justice for others. And it's an inescapable part of our life and our calling. And we want to keep helping people explore that, live into that. So something that is new this year, but is the outgrowth of seeds we have planted over the last number of years, is this year we are spending time working on building a fruitful, generative friendship, partnership with what the Church of the Nazarene is doing in the country of Romania. So that is the growth out of 4 or 5 years of us trying to figure out what it would look like for us to have long-term international partners in ministry. And God has opened up all sorts of doors, and those doors have led us to Romania. And if you wonder why that is, in 2 Sundays, it will no longer be a mystery to you. So in 2 weeks, a lady by the name of Monica Bosef is coming to speak at our church, and she is the director of the Open Door Foundation in Bucharest, Romania. She is one of the most passionate, fired up women I have ever met in my life. And she does incredible work there at Open Door. It's a safe house for survivors of trafficking, and they're doing incredible, redemptive, holistic work there. She was one of the initial reasons I was excited to get partnered with Romania, and she's going to be here at our church. She's going to be doing some training with the group that's going to Romania, and you will have no doubts as to why we have felt called to it after you hear her speak. She's going to get you fired up, right? That is good. She's an incredible lady. And so as part of this partnership, we're doing a couple of things. The first is we have a group of 6 of us that are traveling to Romania in late October, early November, to just go and learn. We aren't going with any other agenda other than we want to discern what God is doing there and to begin to dream about how we might partner with it and to build relationships with the people who are already doing that work. So that the part of the outcome of that will be next summer, 2019, we want to take a larger trip with anybody from our church who wants to go to Romania to go and actually begin building relationships there with the church. I think that is going to be one of the most incredible experiences, transformative experiences for our congregation as we live into that together and as it changes us. So I'm really excited about that. And evidently, we're going to be in Transylvania on Halloween. Hey, who knows what could happen there, right? That's going to be great. So, all right, it's fun. So the other thing that we've been hungry for and trying to build on is our local ministry. Right, we want an international ministry and world impact, but we also locally want to be present in our community and find out where the needs are and how to build relationships there. And over this past year, as we've gotten to know the Whispering Sands neighborhood more and more, we have found an incredibly open, hospitable community that is welcoming us into relationship. As we've hosted Fun Factory over the year, there's been a great response. We had a trunk or treat event in the fall that had like 230 people at it. We had a huge Easter egg hunt that just happened. But the daily rhythms of some of our people who live there and weekly, monthly getting to know people has begun to open up all sorts of doors. And for the next year, we want to step into that more and more. So we're going to continue to run Fun Factory, but in addition to that, we want to help create a worshiping environment there in that mobile home community. And it's very simply going to be called Dinner Church, right? I mean, it's the greatest name that I've ever heard in my entire life, right? Because it communicates everything. There's going to be a meal, and there's going to be a very simple family-friendly worship gathering. And instead of asking people to come to us as a church, we're going to go to them and be present with them. Especially to a community that a lot of people have transportation issues and can't get around and it's difficult. We're going to just go be present with them. And we're not quite sure all the ways in which that's going to work yet and how often and whatever. My guess is it'll start off about once a month and we'll keep going through that. In 2 weeks, we're actually going to run our first pilot of Dinner Church and see how that goes. But we're very much feeling called to just go and be in that space and with that neighborhood and to learn how to do life together with them. And we hope and pray that the grace of God will work in us in such profound ways that there will be no needy among us. We actually want to live into this image of Acts 4 that we see here and begin to discover this, of welcoming people into our lives and embracing them and doing ministry and life together to meet the needs of our people. So those are some really awesome and exciting things that are happening that we want to invite you into. But probably the thing that's been exciting me the most is it's been bubbling forth is some new vision that God's been crafting within our staff and especially within Katie for how we reach and minister to the youth in our church and the youth in our community. And so rather than me talking about that, I'm going to allow Katie to come up here and to talk a bit about what this next year looks like for our youth ministry and how that works.
Awesome. Thank you. So, I don't know how many of you have been keeping track, but this June actually marks 2 years since I arrived at Dooland from the wonderful state of California. It's been a fun journey so far being here, and I'm really excited for what's ahead. So before I arrived, Pastor Josh actually launched Tribe, which our kids loved and have embraced completely. And so for 2 years before I arrived, we were embracing Tribe. And for the last 2 years, we have embraced that even more. And we've been able to gather our youth and family and their families in community. And that's been really fun to just not only know our youth, but actually know our parents really well as well and help really foster that. And I really think that the youth have grown to like each other a lot. They're actually sitting together most of the time. They argue less. They want to be together more. It's sort of like siblings. Like I was kind of the odd sibling out of my two siblings, all three of us. And finally, my sister and I, in our college, or when she entered high school, started enjoying me more as I was in college. So you like being around each other, which is really great. So that's a win. But each year, we've asked God, what do you have in store for us now? And last year, instead of meeting with a traditional youth group night, we actually started doing discipleship groups, which we call D groups, which our kids still call Tribe. It's all part of the same thing. So we did discipleship groups, and that was just really awesome. And this was a night for both our middle school students and our high school students to be challenged and encouraged as followers of Christ. And we've seen a lot of maturity and passion flow out of that. I've seen our youth closer than I think they've ever been. And we've also seen them grow closer to God, which has been really exciting. So we asked God once more, what do you have in store for us now? And we waited, we listened, and we prayed. We've really sensed this need in our community for a space, both physical and emotional, for students to feel at home and to feel belonging. The very structure we have known as family has significantly changed. The two-parent nuclear family has become less and less common. Families look and act very different than they did even 10 years ago. As family has changed, so has the idea of home. And for some students, their home has become more of a physical place, not necessarily a place of belonging, of identity, of a feeling at home. And yet the desire for students to feel at home is still very real and needed. So at home means relaxed and comfortable, at home, at ease, in harmony with the surroundings. For me, at home means belonging. Tribe has had the opportunity to serve as a place of belonging for our youth. They have felt at home. They have thrived. And we want to look to see what it looks like for us to invite other students in our community, for our students to invite people in our community, students in our community, to feel the same way, to feel belonging, to feel at home. So we began to think, what is God calling us into? As a church, we desire to be God's love on the move. That's what Greg shared about. We are God's love on the move. And we believe that God is calling us to create a space for students in Chesterton to call home. So here's our plan. First, let's talk about physical space. So we have a vision for a comfortable second home for our students, and we are calling it The Loft. The Loft, a second home for students. Our plan is to renovate the space above Pioneer Lumber. The empty upstairs space that we have, it's not empty yet, but it just has storage stuff in it. So we actually have a plan of something that we already own. We don't utilize the space very well, so we have this space. And we want to make it into a wonderful place for students to thrive, for them to belong, and for them to grow. So what this space will look like, we are hoping for it to look like a coffee house for 5th to 12th grade students. These are some of the images that have really caught my attention. This idea of welcome home, belonging, you belong here. So this coffee house feel that I feel like a lot of students feel comfortable in. They feel comfortable having conversation in, growing in. There's going to hopefully be a stage presence there for music as well. And each week, our idea right now is we hope to have different things going on. We hope to have after-school hours for students to come and that to be their study space, that to be their hangout space. So that would be after school hours, that there would be creative arts nights where kids can come and be passionate about painting and doing creative arts, writing poetry, whatever it might be. And we hope to have movie nights there, open mic nights, and game nights. So you name it, we'll probably do it there. We also have a hope that we will open a sort of gathering for both middle school or intermediate middle school. So we're calling it IMS, which tricks me sometimes, but and high school students as well. We're hoping to do a weekly gathering there. For the middle school, the intermediate middle school students, it'll look like a game night. So this will be a space for students to engage in cooperative games that'll be fit for that living room sort of setting. Build relationships, feel free to be themselves, and to be encouraged to discover their true identity. There will also be obviously snacks, because kids love food, and also a short teaching. For our high school, we really hope to create this coffee house night. This will be where high school students can engage in a comfortable environment. They're going to be building relationships and having important conversations. Ideas that come to my mind are talking about topics that are really important to their life right now. So justice issues, news and the current events, depression and social struggles, and how we really see God fit into that all. Or maybe even some students who aren't engaged in the church yet or don't know God yet, how do they see maybe faith fit into this as well? Our hope is that these gatherings will create a second home for students to belong, for them to be able to ask hard questions, for them to really grow and thrive. Our students will also have the opportunity to serve on the student leadership team. This will be a group of students that are being discipled, that are serving together and dreaming together to really be the hands and feet of Jesus in this community, in our community of Chesterton. We also hope that the student leadership team will be able to help plan events for the Loft and being able to really think of what are some topics that youth are really excited about, that they're passionate about talking about, but maybe they don't have a space to talk about it freely. The Loft, we hope, will serve for students and their friends, and for our students and their friends, and our students in our community who don't have a space yet, for them to grow and thrive and to belong. We want that this to be a second home for our students here in Chesterton. So we are excited to invite you to join us on this new adventure. Would you come?
We are really excited about that and the ability to create a space and to help empower our youth to this same life we're talking about. All of this is about each of us discovering our ability to be good news for those around us. And we want to help our children and our youth live into that as much as we do our adults, because they're way more effective missionaries to their friends and their communities and their schools than we are within that. And just to note, we'll talk about some of the building project aspects of building out the Loft and what we're doing, but it's a beautiful example of, for us, of sort of this Acts 4 passage of as people give out of the resources they have to help us do this. As the dream for this began to build within us and we began to question about how would we afford to do that and how would we begin to do this, whatever, our good friend Kim Baer came to me and said, hey, the family... in honor of Dirk and his passing, would like to make a gift to the church for something for us to invest into. What would be something within that? And I immediately knew that this youth room would be the thing, because I didn't know anybody more so than our friend Dr. Dirk Baer, who loved the youth of this community and gave himself over and invested into that, that they would have safe spaces and beautiful spaces to do that. And so it is a beautiful thing. And so we'll start talking about fundraising and stuff in the weeks to come, but the fact we're even able to have this conversation and to make this a realistic dream for us is because of somebody and a family who has said, yes, we want to give out of what we have. We want to share out of what we have to help meet the need and the opportunity around us within that. And it's just this beautiful example of what we see here in the church. And so this morning, I just want to invite you to join us in prayer. For this. None of this has been put together, or none of these ideas have been just thrown together. We've been prayerfully working towards this as the leadership of this church, some of these things for multiple years. And we feel passionately that this is what God has called us to, and we boldly want to step into it and proclaim it. But none of that matters if his Spirit isn't in it, and if we don't go into this together. It just won't matter. This is not a vision for a staff. This is a calling of a people and what we want to do together. So would you spend some time praying with me this morning as we prepare to go to the table and just inviting God to bless and to guide and to provide and to call us into this year. Let's pray together.